On this episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks, USC takes on North Carolina to start the 2023 football season. I share some insights into the game and then also my first six-pack of picks for the year. Okay, here we go. Welcome to episode 175 of Cox Talking Gamecocks. I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001. And it's here, y'all. It is freaking here. Give yourself a pat on the back. It is game week. Ready to run through a freaking brick wall. Oh my God. It truly is the most wonderful time of the year. And it's amongst us. It's here. It's unbelievable. Football season. We've already had week zero happen. I mean, I was at an engagement party this last weekend, and I'm over in the corner sweating and overbet. Like, back like we never left. Back like we never left. It is the most wonderful time of the year, and I am so happy to be talking about actual games, actual previews, depth charts, the whole nine. So good. So enjoy it. Let's all enjoy this one as it should be a fun season. Fingers crossed. So yeah, this episode is fully dedicated to a game preview as week one is here, taking on the UNC Tar Heels. And then I also have my first six pack of picks for y'all this week, this season, whatever you want to say. But we are going to do one more trivia from my daily Gamecock calendar. This will be the retirement ceremony for the season as we're going to have other sports picking up as well now that school and everything is back in session. I actually think there has been some action, especially in soccer, but we will catch up on all the scores and everything moving forward. And then, yeah, should be moving back to two times a week. So we'll do Monday. This one might get a little wonky because I'm going to be traveling home, but the first episode of the week will recap everything that happened in the weekend prior, and then the Friday episode will recap the past week and then preview the weekend ahead. But let's get some trivia started for y'all, and then we'll dive into this game preview here. So, during the summer transfer window in 2008, former South Carolina men's soccer goalkeeper Brad Guzan made the move from Major League Soccer in the U.S. to join the English Premier League. Which EPL team did he join? I can't say that I know this. Let's see. Aston Villa. Love it. Shout out men's soccer. Shout out Carolina men's soccer. Shout out all other sports at UNC. But the rest of this episode is dedicated to our football team. And yeah, I hope I'm not too rusty at these. Like, I haven't done a game preview in a while. You know, we've been talking a lot of theory and everything like that since the athletic calendar ended back in the early summer. So, yeah, bear with me here because, yeah, it is that time. We are finally here. And, I mean, there really couldn't be much more excitement about this opening game. I mean, what more can you ask for? Truly. It's a top 25 opponent and a border war, nonetheless. I'm not going to go out and say that UNC is an arch rival, but there is that natural rivalry there, being the flagship universities of bordering states with the same name, you know. Who is the real Carolina? We know the answer to that, but it's a storyline. And it's cool because Gamecock Nation gets the opportunity to once again take over a neutral site. Like I said already, I'm very excited to be going to this game, and every time I talk to somebody, there's someone new who's going to this game. This is, has so much juice. You have College Game Day in Charlotte. The whole city is going to be alive. And then in the actual game itself, you have an elite quarterback battle. So really, it checks all the boxes, right? This is one hell of an opening game. What a way to kick off the season for Shane Beamer and company. And, you know, this is a huge, huge game. You know, it's getting thrown into the fire quickly, right? Like, you're not getting that cupcake to warm things up. And how this game goes could signal a little bit about the season, right? I'm going to stop short of calling it a must win because it is a long season. And as we saw last year, a lot can happen quickly, especially at the end, right? But this game can serve as a springboard for this team more so to open up a whole world of possibilities for this season, right? Like, you're getting put to the test right away. And a win in this game, you're probably more than likely going to be ranked in the top 25. I mean, that would be the earliest time South Carolina is ranked since Spurrier. And if you have a winning record in the month of September and you start things off going 1-0, then the sky is truly the limit for this team. And I think also, I think there's a little bit of lingering doubt still about this South Carolina team. Not being ranked in the AP top 25 says it. You have Las Vegas with the win total. It was 6.5, maybe 7, depending on where you look. National writers are saying, you know, it could be maybe a letdown year. They have holes here. They have question marks there. Is Shane Beamer still the guy? Like, all these questions that we as fans know are kind of surface level. Like, you know, it's a lot of clickbait and things like that. But if you go and you beat a ranked team and you can take down an elite quarterback, it says a lot. And I think it really just proves the point further that South Carolina is arriving with Shane Beamer. But nonetheless, you know, that's why you strap him up. That's why you play the game, right? So what are the Gamecocks getting in the UNC Tar Heels? Last year, UNC went 9-3 in the regular season. They went to the ACC championship game and lost. It's funny. They had a good year, right? 9-3 is very solid, but they ended the season on a 4-game losing streak, including their bowl game. So they were flying high for most of the year and then kind of had an opposite end of the year for compared to South Carolina, right? Where Carolina was, you know, one step forward, two steps back, trying to get, you know, into the next gear, and they finally did to end the season, whereas UNC kind of did the opposite. And the name of the game for UNC is Drake May. Like, their philosophy of football actually has a human name. And Drake, he carried them to many wins last year. And even, you know, his time in general. Like, he's not just a passer. Like, he has led them in rushing for several games last year as well. And, you know, I mean, also, the name of their game is score a lot and pray that the other team can't. I mean, their defense last year struggled mightily to get after the quarterback, and they tended to give up a good amount of points as well. You can look at their schedule from last season, and there's a good amount of high-scoring games. I think it was their matchup against App State. They were into the 60s, both teams were. So this year, they had to bring in a lot of transfers in their secondary, and they're dealing with some injuries as well. So it's still this question of, can they stop the bleeding? Can they get a new group of guys up to speed quickly to try and complement what should be a pretty good offense, right? But at the same time, on the offensive side of the ball, UNC had to bring in a new offensive coordinator after their old one left for a new job. So I'm sure that he will be looking to bring more balance to the Tar Heels to establish more of a rushing attack and maybe having to run with May less and just trying to be more two-dimensional, really. And they also had to bring in a couple of transfer wide receivers. It's like transfer you over there. Like, what? I don't know what's going on, but transfers here left and right. And as of recording this, UNC's hopeful wide receiver one, who is a transfer, has been ruled ineligible by the NCAA, and there has still been no update, as you know, the Tar Heels naturally appealed this. So on either side of the ball, UNC is dealing with potentially missing key skill players in positions of need. Now, for South Carolina, this is obviously the big debut for Dowell Loggins and this new offense. And there's question marks about how this thing is going to get going. What does it look like in actuality? I definitely do think that we will see him be able to establish a rhythm more easily than we're used to. I think in this game, and honestly, for most of the year, this offense is going to be very pass heavy. And it's going to have to rely on a veteran signal caller in Spencer Rattler and really the plethora of skilled pass catchers that we have both in wide receiver and in tight end. And again, you know, that's not a knock against Dak Joyner, Juju McDowell, and the running backs. There's just not a lot of proven, you know, commodities, like, for, you know, for lack of a better term, like, in that running back room, right? Juju McDowell is the only one that has consistently been a running back in the SEC. His build is not to be an every down runner. Dak Joyner is going to be RB1. He just hasn't done it before. Stands to reason there's going to be a learning curve, right? So you're going to have to rely on your passing game, which I'm okay with. It's a pass-first offense this year. It's not as balanced as you'd like. I would imagine the running game comes along later in the year, and then we can really be more balanced. But, you know, I have said this before. Is there any rust for Loggins, seeing as, you know, he hasn't called plays in a couple of years, and he's never done it in college? Does it take a couple of drives for this offense to get their feet underneath them, right? And if that happens, can the defense buy them some time? Or do we see what we saw a lot last year, where you're going up against a good offense, they score quickly, and you're playing behind the eight ball a little bit? Again, I don't think that's necessarily going to be the case, but in this first game, how quickly can you get your feet underneath you? And then on the defensive side of the ball, it's time to see this continued development of Nick Emmanuori, DQ Smith, and then also, what does the secondary look like being anchored by Marcellus Dial? And do we see a front seven that can slow down the run better than they did last year? So these are all the things that you're hoping to get answered in this first game. And first games in college are always a little wonky, right? Because there's no preseason. You only have a couple of scrimmages. There's nerves and everything like that. So we might not get all of that answered, but hopefully we can see these guys shine kind of how we expect, right? Like, do we see Spencer take that next step? Do we see an offense that at face value looks to be more in sync, right? I'm not saying we have to go up and down the field and score 50 points, but does it just look better? Because there were plenty of times last year and the year before where you're just like, this offense doesn't look like they're on the same page. And then on the defensive side of the ball, how does the secondary hold up, particularly at the corners? And I'll get into, you know, the pass rush in a little bit here. But with that, y'all, it is time for my crows to the game. Now, if y'all have been listening to me for a couple of seasons now, you know what this is. But for any new listeners, I don't do keys to the game. Everyone has their keys to the game. That's tired. We have our rooster crow, so I do my crows to the game. So for the entire team, which I don't always do, but the crow is to settle down early. I mean, there's going to be that energy and that juice in the stadium. And there's always those extra buildup for the big game. for the first game, rather. But can the guys settle down quickly? Because you absolutely cannot afford to have an early mistake or maybe a couple of mental errors that cause penalties that end up hurting your momentum. So don't get in your own way at first, right? Let the game come to you. Settle down early. It's the first game. We're all excited. We're all amped up, but this is a big game. And we can't afford those mental mistakes. Now on defense, my first crow to the game is disrupt Drake May. You know, the pass rush, that is a question mark on this team. And that group is being thrown right into the deep end this first game as UNC is going to go as far as Drake May can take them. So can this group make him uncomfortable in the pocket? UNC has an older offensive line. But if USC can throw UNC off their game plan early, maybe force them to play from behind the sticks a little bit, that should play into our strength of a defense, particularly speaking, our young, strong safeties. Strong meaning the adjective, right? We have strong, a good strong safety and a good, you know, far safety as well. Little football pun there. My second crow to the game for the defense is create a turnover. This has been a calling card for South Carolina since Clayton White has been our defensive coordinator. And while it's not realistic to lead the SEC in turnovers every single year, this can definitely be something that is a staple of our defense based off of coaching and scheme and scouting. So getting just one in this game can be the difference maker in what I expect to be a very close game. And then even just getting one turnover could put a little bit of pause into the UNC offense as they're looking to find their footing in a new system as well. So it would be very exciting to see. Now on the offensive side of the ball, my first crow, I've already said this, get into a rhythm early, right? It's something that eluded Carolina offenses for most of the last two seasons, and it usually led to South Carolina kind of playing behind the eight ball, having to play a little catch-up. You know, this group is going to be really anxious to get out there and want to continue that pace that they had at the end of last season, but this is where it's the job of Dabo Loggins to kind of, you know, get the guys settled in early, right? Get them ready to go, but settle in early. Maybe start things off with a couple of easy throws for Spencer. But make sure that we can get a first down or two in that opening drive. And I mean, shoot, if you can get an extended drive in that opening drive, that would be a very positive sign for the night. Because how many times have we seen the last couple of years, that opening drive might not go so well. So it would be imperative for this offense to get off to a good start quickly. And then my second crow for the offense is capitalize in the red zone. This was also a struggle at times for the offense the past two seasons. But when you are facing a team like UNC that has a history of scoring a lot, you have to be relentless in your attack, and you cannot settle for 3 points. And then you can just look around at these pass catchers for this team, and I just see endless possibilities for red zone packages. You got big body tight ends in Trey Knox and Josh Simon. You have a big physical wide receiver in Xavier Leggett. Juice is a combo of that physicality and the quicks. Then you also have Eddie Lewis and Amarion Brown. And then, you know, do we see Nick Harbor? How much does Nick Harbor play in this game? He has been dealing with an injury, but there is no word that it's super serious or anything. And he has been trying to get up to speed playing college football. It's a lot. But he's a big, fast guy. Maybe there's some packages built just for him. Do you throw a bubble screen out to him and just let him run? He's so fast. So very interesting to see a lot of possibilities for the offensive side of the ball with the pass catchers, which I also think is okay if we have to lean on the pass more this year. Because we do have a bit of an, you know, not an embarrassment of riches, but we have a good amount of playmakers and we have some depth in those rooms. So it's okay to rely on them a bit. Which goes into my third crow of the game for the offense, and that's keep Spencer upright. A lot of talk has gone about this offensive line. They struggled last year. To me, they showed a little bit of improvement at the end of the year. Of course, there's going to be a lot made. Can they open things up for the running backs? Make their job a little easier, especially given their lack of experience. But you're going to have to rely on Spencer this year. Seems like he's primed to take a step up in his game. You have to keep him upright. We saw a lot of free rushers last year. That can't happen. So do we see an improved offensive line? There's experience on this line. You know, Nick Gargiulo, Rashawn Lee, you know, even a guy like Sidney Fuger, like, these guys have played college football. And it's just a matter of getting them to gel and getting them to perform consistently. And it's tough being an O-lineman, right? Because you do your job great. You don't get a ton of praise typically. But if you miss an assignment, everyone sees this. So overall for this game, you know, it's a huge test, y'all. And this is a big moment right out of the gates for this South Carolina team. I do look around and I see playmakers all up and down our roster. And I also see some younger players that I think could be primed for a big year. But, you know, what does that look like in game one? Are there sloppy moments just from not having played yet? Can the offense get going early? Do we see a dip in the defense, or do guys step up there, particularly in the front seven? From what I know about UNC, I do think that South Carolina matches up well. I think Dowell Loggins is going to key in on that, and he's going to try to expose what is really a newly put together secondary for UNC. A lot of guys that haven't played together, guys that have not played in that system. I think that's primed to be exposed, especially if they're dealing with some injuries. That would play into the strength of our offense. Now, I do expect Drake May to get his fair share of moments, right? He's a star. But I also am bullish on our defensive front, and I think that they can get pressure and also just try and make them more one-dimensional. You can't let Drake May beat you with his legs. You know, he's probably going to scramble some and things like that. I don't want to see this be a game where Drake May is also their leading rusher. Make him stay in the pocket. Make him uncomfortable. If he makes a mistake, we have a strong secondary who can take advantage of that. And so I do think this is a close game. I think this is a high-scoring game. And in close games particularly, special teams can be that difference maker, and that definitely leans to South Carolina as a strength. So I see a path for Carolina to start the year on the right foot. Cross your fingers. Do whatever you have to do to send good vibes to start the season right. It's going to be a fun one. It's going to be that anxiety right out of the gate. The roller coaster that is Gamecock football starts right away on week one, y'all. But I'm so excited. Go Cox, man. I am pumped. And before I let y'all go here, I do have my 6-pack of picks for any new listeners. What I do during the football season is I'll pick 6 games, one from each Power 5 conference, and then one from the group of 5. I give either sides or totals. And, you know, if that's your thing, these are the games I'm looking at. And I also never mix business with pleasure. You won't see me touching a South Carolina game because I get stressed enough as it is. Don't need to mix in anything else. And then who knows? I mean, after this year or next, who knows if it's even Power 5 anymore. So let's enjoy this while we can. So real quick here, ACC, I'm going Clemson at Duke. That's Monday night. Give me Duke 12.5. This game's not being talked about a lot. Duke had a very fine year last year. Clemson also bringing in a new system. Could be a tight one. That's a good Monday night game to watch. Big 12. Colorado at TCU, give me the under at 59.5. Big 10, West Virginia at Penn State, over 50.5. Penn State bringing in a, you know, young quarterback, new era over there. I think they get things rolling. West Virginia will do just enough to get it over. Pac-12. Nevada at Southern Cal. We're taking a big swing here. Southern Cal minus 38. It's going to be their second game of the year. They won by almost 30 this go-around. Nevada stinks. 38. SEC, Virginia versus Tennessee. I'm taking the Vols minus 28. I think Virginia just stinks. I'm not totally sold on Tennessee this year. You know, they could be good, but there's question marks there, but 28 feels fine. And then the group of five, going the opposite way here, give me UMass plus 38 against Auburn. Auburn is one huge question mark. I don't know who the heck is on their team, who was on offense. They got the coaching change and all that jazz. I'm sure they win this game, but 38's a heck of a lot of points for a new team and all that jazz. But with that, y'all, that wraps up this episode. Please follow me on social media. Twitter or X is Cox Gamecocks. Instagram is just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. And please like, subscribe, and review the podcast. I appreciate all y'all. Go Cox.